Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. I hope you're having a great day today. I hope you got the message about the show being tonight. Pretty much every Monday night. There are some occasions when I'm out of town and can't make it, but we're pretty consistent here. For those of you who might be new to the show, I'll give you a little idea what we're all about and what you can expect this evening. This is a show where, for the most part, we demonstrate the use of one of the most amazing systems of predicting the future, self-understanding, self-knowledge. One of the best ones out there, I would say, for the average person, I would say it's the best. Because anybody can learn this in a matter of a couple hours. It's a lifelong tool you can use for yourself and people in your life to find out what's going on, what's coming up, and all about your relationships. What's going on in your relationships? What's your karma? Who are you with? Your compatibility? All this and more. And sometimes the things that we come up with is very surprising. And everything in this system is based on your birthday. And your birthday describes you as one of 53 cards in a deck. There are 52 cards plus the Joker. And your birthday is one of these cards. If you don't know what your card is, you can go to my website right now, which is 7thunders.com, the number 7 and the word thunders.com. And there's a free destiny reading there. You can click on that and type in your birthday and find out right then and get a little bit of information about not only who you are as a card, what your card is and what it means, but also what's going on for you this year. There's a little prediction there for that. And also what's going on this month and today, even. So this is what we do. We have a little talk in the beginning. I usually have a topic, which I'll be starting the discussion on here in a minute. And then at 7:30 Pacific, around 7:30, we begin to open up our phone lines, and there are three lines available. Those of you who got this email know what those numbers are. You can call in. You can ask a question. Give us your birthday. Tell us where you're from, your first name. And when I get you on the phone, you can ask your question, and I will do my best to answer you. So, without further ado, today is June 23rd, 2008. Sorry. Today's day, if you're born today, you happen to be a Seven of Clubs with a Nine of Hearts ruling card. You know, every day of the year has some celebrities who have this day, and like for example, June Carter, who married Johnny Cash, was born today. We have actress Selma Blair, who's played in a lot of movies. By the way, I don't know if you know some of the movies she's been in, but she's been in Cruel Intentions. She was in Legally Blonde. She was in Hellboy. And there's another Hellboy coming out in a few months here, and she'll be in that. And then we also have actor Zen Gesner, who was born in 1970, same day, June 23rd. People born today tend to have a real strong desire to become famous in some way because the Seven of Clubs has an Eight of Diamonds as its first karma card. And the karma card of the Eight of Diamonds means, the sun card means, I want to shine like the sun. I want to be somebody who receives a lot of recognition. This is often a hidden desire. Actress Frances McDormand was born today. Actor Ted Shackelford. Musician Steve Shelley. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was born today, among other people. The Nine of Hearts, as the ruling card of today, makes relationships a little bit tough. There's going to be a certain amount of codependence with people born today. And there's going to be a certain amount of emotional loss in their life. It's part of the karmic pattern. It's part of their lesson. Something to experience, which they gathered up from past lives. That's how we look at things here, where things are based on our past lives. So your card, your pattern, is the culmination of your past lives. What you are this lifetime is really a loving pattern. Nobody is cursed. Some people feel that they're cursed, but that's an interpretation. That's just their story about themselves. Everything that happens to us has a loving meaning behind it, with no exceptions. And we don't always understand what's going on, but later, even something as tragic as 9/11, people that were personally involved in that, people who survived it or had friends who died in it, afterwards, they find the blessing that was hidden within the event. Always. It's just that we don't really see the big picture. We're not able to see. Because we're looking at life through a very skewed, colored glasses that see so little of what is real. The more time we spend paying attention to what we're thinking, the less time we're spending paying attention to what's really happening around us and to us and inside of us. And the more that means we have less awareness about things. We have less, and the more time we spend reacting to things, being upset, being worried, being angry, being afraid, being confused, being down. In any of those states of mind, we're not seeing much of what's going on. And when you think about it, you could almost take any moment in your day, and I've noticed this in myself, I could take almost any moment in my day, and there's an underlying sense of dis-ease. When I say dis-ease, I don't mean disease. I mean being not at ease. Something is pushing on me. I'm being pushed on from the inside. I'm feeling uncomfortable. And my mind is seeking something to feel good about. I think anyone will pay attention to what's going on in their feelings and things, will see that this is a process that most of us are going through every day. There's a subtle level of unease about life. And this leads us into tonight's topic, which I had talked about in the email, which is the keys to happiness. You know, I've always been a very goal-oriented person, ever since I was young, which in some ways has been a real blessing because it gave me a lot of passion, a lot of ambition to achieve, and that desire kept me going when other people might have stopped. That desire had me latch on to goals and dreams and work them and make them happen, okay? But at the same time, I became so desire-oriented that it was very hard to stop and really experience something that I had created and really appreciated. So if you really want to experience a life of happiness, the first thing to know is that it's not going to come from what you do out there in the world. It's not going to come to you by something outside of yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you won't feel good when something good happens to you. I mean, what if you won the lottery and you had, let's say, $10 million? You're probably going to feel pretty good. But you'd be surprised how quickly you won't feel good. Your mind will start worrying about the money. How am I going to keep it? What am I going to do with it? What do I have to share it with the people? You have no idea. You could only imagine right now, unless that happened to you, what would go through you, your mind, even having that. Because, see, it's the nature of our way of being these days. It's the nature of who we are as human beings in today's society to be constantly unhappy, even when we get what we want. It's a very momentary feeling. It may be a profound feeling. It may be really deep. You might have something happen to you that you really wanted for a long time, and it may really feel fulfilling on a very deep level. I'm not denying that. But see how long it lasts. See how long you go, how many seconds go by before you're already in the future, thinking about something else, looking in the future for something to make you happy. Or looking in the past, for past memories that were more happier or better or whatever. Okay, so this is it. So one thing about happiness is that I want to get clear right up front is that affirmations, the way they've been taught for the last, well, predominantly for the last 10, 15, 20 years, books written about positive thinking, you know, visualization, visualizing better things for yourself so that they can materialize. None of that works. That kind of affirmation never worked. I don't know how people got by saying that it did, because it didn't. It didn't work. If you're sitting there dreaming up something that's not present, that's not real for you, you know you're doing that. You cannot avoid the fact that we know that we're just visualizing. And while we're sitting there dreaming up our future, we can be worried about it happening, not happening. We can be anxious about when is it going to happen. And more than anything else, when we're doing that, we're not really being with what's happening right here. Right here and right now. There is a form of affirmation that is extremely powerful, and this is one of the main things I wanted to mention tonight, is that there's a form of affirmation that is extremely powerful. It's the one that I recommend because it works. And it's the foundation of all the things that I've learned about creating prosperity. I had no idea when I overcame my poverty problem that the same principle applied in a more broad basis to life in general. I sort of thought it did, but I hadn't really thought about it. I hadn't really connected it all up. And that is when an affirmation is affirming what we have, what is real. What is going on that's good? So basically taking stock of how much good is happening in our life is extremely powerful. Being with the good things, spending time with the good things in our life. I mean, if you just look around your house right now, and I've said this before, just look around the house or wherever you are right now, and look how much you have. Look at just the things for a minute. Just look at the stuff you have. Look at the books, the furniture, the technological helping devices you might have, computers or whatever, your car. Maybe you have musical instruments. Maybe you have beautiful paintings or something decorating your house. Maybe you have a nice yard. Maybe you have a pool. I don't know. But I know that if you're in this country and you're listening to this message tonight, you have a lot. And how much, ask yourself, how much time do you spend on any given day just taking stock of what you have? Just taking an inventory, really, just looking around and going, wow, that's pretty cool. Wow, I appreciate that. Wow, yeah, I'm so glad I have that. Wow, I forgot I had that. That's really nice. Wow, what a convenience. Wow, what a cool thing. What a great feature. What a great this or that. This is an exercise that absolutely will increase your prosperity. And you don't have to have, when I say a lot, I mean everybody's version of what a lot is different. But I know that whatever you have right now is considered a lot by a lot of people in this world, because you live in the most prosperous country on the planet. If you're living in America, well, there may be some exceptions now, like Saudi Arabia and places like that. But basically, we live in opulence here. And I don't care where you live here, you're living in opulence. I mean, even the homeless people here live much better than people in places like India and other countries, Thailand, places where there's these shanty towns that span, you know, hundreds of square miles. So now we can take this principle of appreciation, and if you could possibly do this, if you could possibly spend 20 minutes each day out of your day, and I'm just using that as an example. So 20 minutes out of a day would be, what, one-third of an hour? Let's say you're awake for 18 hours a day, so it would be, I don't know, a very small percentage of your waking time each day, possibly 5% or less. And you were to take that time and just consciously appreciate, just by doing an inventory and remembering why you have that thing, why you bought it, why you got it, and just recognizing the function that it plays in your life. Just on that level alone, you could become extremely happy. Your happiness level would go up 5 points. 5 degrees, 5 points. Then if you were to look at your body and look at everything that's working in your body, not the things that aren't working, but all the parts of your body that are really working, that you feel good about, that you get joy from, that you appreciate. It could be the strength of your body. It could be the shape of your body. It could be just your feet or your hands or your hair or your ears or your toes, your forehead. I don't know. Things that you love about your body. You might have one arm that's not working. The other arm works great. Just thinking of that, being grateful. How much could that increase your health if you spent, 5 minutes a day just doing that? Really appreciating, being with what you have. And then you could take it to the other next level and go into your relationships. You go into your most important relationship. Maybe you're having trouble right now with that relationship. But I don't really care who it is. There's something you can appreciate about this person. I mean, you picked them. You hand-selected them from all the people that you had access to, which was probably thousands of people. What can you appreciate about your significant other, your partner, your husband, your wife? How much can you appreciate about that person? What about the other people in your life that love you? Are you aware of how many people love you, who care about you, who think good of you, who want good things to happen to you? So we spend our time, because we're a goal-oriented society, really. We're taught from early on, grow up, get a job, do something good, make money, become successful. It's all about becoming. It's all about doing in order to have. Doing things in order to have. That's what our society is geared for. There's nothing wrong with that to a degree, but what happens is it becomes our normal mode of consciousness to constantly do in order to have, doing. I'm working this job. I hate it, but I'm doing it because I want the money to have what I want. It forces us to never spend any time. That way of looking at life causes us to never spend any time being with the things, the things around us, what's going on in the moment. We're always looking into the future. Everything is just a stepping stone to what we want to get in the future. So we have this habitual way of being, of never being with what we have. And that is poverty. That is the definition of poverty. It's not having. It's wanting and never having. So the real definition of happiness is to be someone who has, not somebody who wants. You're not, if you think you are what you want in life, you're probably pretty unhappy. Even if you think you are what you have in life, you're pretty unhappy. If that's what your identity is tied up with, you're going to be constantly threatened by the world around you. But just knowing what you have, just taking stock of what we have in life, really has a profound effect on our normal mode of consciousness. Now, in my book that I wrote about prosperity called The Big Money Book, I actually give exercises in there that you do. I mean, if you really want to have prosperity and you really mean business and you want to have happiness in the area of money in your life, there's things you can actually practice. I mean, I've had people make major transformations in their life after reading my book. And I had people that bought it and read it once, maybe got a little inspired but didn't practice it. And, of course, you know which ones of those had the results, the ones that it meant enough to them that they were ready to practice. Those are the ones that had the prosperity show up in leaps and bounds in their life. And that practice is all about appreciating what you have. It's like taking an inventory in the morning once a day and doing an affirmation, but not a made-up affirmation, not a make-believe affirmation, an affirmation of acknowledging all the wonderful things that you have in your life. There's more to it than that, but that's a basic description of it. So you're either a have or you're a have-not. And if you have, then more is added to you. And if you have not, that what you have is taken away. And in having, you can feel happy, you can feel content, you can feel full. And really what's happening is your happiness is coming from the fact that you're being with. Instead of doing to have, you're being with. You're being with what you already have. You're being with what is real. You're being with what has been created in your life. You're being with, not doing to get to someplace. You're already with. You are someplace. You are being someplace. You're being here with what you have. Big, big change. So if you find that, you know, your life is, you're feeling unhappy in your life or miserable in some way, and miserable is funny, you know, the word miserable comes from the word miser. And the miser is the person who doesn't think he has enough, he or she has enough. And so they hoard things away, and they're not very generous with other people. They're miserly, right? And to be miserly means to be miserable or miserable. And we always equate the word miserable with unhappy. He's miserable. Oh, he's so miserable. She's miserable. Unhappy. Well, can it be that the reason that they're miserable is because they're just focused totally on the things they don't have in their life and completely ignoring the things that they do have? I'm pretty sure that if you take a look, you'll find that that's the case. That's what's going on. This is something that I practice as much as I can. I certainly do my affirmations. I do my affirmations of what I have a lot, you know, every day. And And there's no end to it. I mean, it's something that there's no end. There's no end to how deep we can go into this. It can become a path to enlightenment, actually. It really can. There's a lot of ways to get to enlightenment, not just one. Many ways. And appreciating what we have brings us into the now. It brings us into the present moment where everything is present. So I just wanted to share that with everybody. And just a couple of things. One of my favorite people in the whole world died yesterday, and that was George Carlin, who was, of course, a famous comedian. He was 71 years old. He was born May 12, 1937, and he just had a birthday, you know, over a month ago. He was in his Mercury period. He had good cards, except that in his ruling card spread, he had a 2 of spades and a 9 of spades. But also in his yearly spread for his birth card, or was it his ruling card? Let's see. His ruling card. His long-range card also was in the 9 of spades position. It had a 9 of spades underlying. There was a couple of 9 of spades there. He had had a history of heart trouble. And so it was his time, but I think he died kind of young. But actually, I got a chance to see him in concert about a year and a half ago in Asheville. And it was kind of sad because, you know, he was so old that he really couldn't remember his own stuff. He had to keep a stack of notes there on the stage so he could read things on what he was going to say next and so forth. I kind of think he did that tour that year just to kind of get out of the house a little bit. But some of his comedy, to me, is just the most, I just think he's the most incredible comedian I've ever known. I mean, he talks about the real stuff in life and shows us what it is to be human and how weird and how terrible it is without being personally offensive about it. He's not hung up on it. He's just a commentator about it. But he makes us laugh about the craziness of being human. Most of you probably heard it, and you might have heard his whole skit about stuff, which is just a classic. And he has other ones that are really classic about advertising and other things. Just amazingly insightful. I would say like he's kind of like the guru of comedy, if I were, in my opinion. This is my opinion, of course. So that was, his passing was a little unexpected, but I kind of knew he wasn't doing too good. Even when I saw him, he didn't look so hot, didn't look so great. The other thing is I've talked many times about a training that I did a couple years ago in Asheville that changed my life. And I just completed being on staff for the advanced level of that training yesterday. It was a 5-day, very intense training thing, and it was just amazingly wonderful. I watched a group of 32 people go from being shut down, you know, unavailable, stuck in their heads, self-doubting, fearful, not trusting themselves, being egotistical, all this stuff, to becoming like little children and playing and being open-hearted and sharing love and giving love and doing things they never would have done before. It's an amazing, amazing experience to go through. It's something that sprang from a training called LifeSpring. It's not the forum. And for those of you who might think it might be the forum, it's not the forum. Much more powerful than the landmark trainings, in my opinion. I've done those as well. But anyway, it was just a nice reminder, and I got my heart opened up from it. It's a really nice reminder to me of the importance of that. I think it brings people into the now and has them really access a whole another level of consciousness. I think it's incredible. And I want to invite anybody who's listening tonight, if you're interested in knowing more about that, to email me. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. It's available in a lot of places. A friend of mine is doing it in Raleigh, North Carolina next week. We just had one here in Concord, California, but they also had it in Los Angeles and other parts of the country. And I'd be happy to guide you to that if you're ready for a huge shift in your life, a change that could change the course of your life forever into a much, much more bright future. This would be the thing I would recommend the highest. Okay? Okay, well, thank you for listening, and we're going to take a short break right now. And as we do on this show, we play a song from my CD called Bhakti Rock. I'd like to play the song Shri Ram. And when we come back, we're going to take your call. So all the lines are open. If you would like to call and talk to me or ask a question about your destiny or a relationship, now's the time to call. We'll be back in about 5 minutes after the song Shri Ram.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Sri Ram from my CD, Bhakti Rock. There are more tracks available to listen to. If you want to go to my website, there's a link there. You can go and listen to sample tracks or order a copy for yourself if you're interested. Okay, now we're going to take your calls. And the first up tonight is Deborah from Sonoma County, California. Are you there, Deborah?
I'm here. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm well. How's it going?
Pretty good, thank you. I'm calling tonight because my world is a little rattled right now, and I'm hoping you can shed some light on that for me.
What happened?
Well, it's not just one thing, it's several, and I'm just kind of feeling a change coming about, and kind of don't have a direction, a sense of direction right now.
Well, can you give me some idea of what kind of changes you're facing right now?
Well, yeah, I'm doing a lot of hospice care for my animals, and I have three, well, I had three, and I just lost one last Monday, and, you know, it's taking, it seems like it's taking a lot of energy, and I tend to want to be pulled that way right now, and sort of being pulled away from my other career. And try to figure out, gosh, you know, I really enjoy taking care of these animals, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So not only that, but I also am feeling maybe a pull away from where I'm living right now.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, so let me get this straight. You have a job, and but you're getting involved in some volunteer work, is that right?
Well, it's actually with my own animals.
With your own animals?
Yeah.
Okay. And are they ill or something?
Yeah. They all are. And one of them passed this last Monday.
How many do you have?
I had three, and now I have two. And, you know, it's just, you know, I've been taking care of them, and I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing, but I'm really enjoying it, so... wondering if maybe I should be doing some work with animals as opposed to what I'm doing now.
And what kind of work are you doing now?
Well, I'm doing some marketing work right now, and you know, it's not as enjoyable as I'd like it to be, but I really feel like my soul is into the animals, you know, taking care of them. I don't know if it's because it's my own animals or whether... you know, maybe it's something I should be doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe that this is your 45th year in the cards. It's very special because it's called the rebirth year. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. So the rebirth year is very special because it's a fortunate year all by itself. It always brings some form of a blessing. And you're a six of diamonds. Your card, your birth card, that we identify you with, the six of diamonds. And it's very important for anybody who's a six to know what their true calling is. Okay?
Okay.
And I do believe that this experience you're having with your animals right now is showing you that you have a different calling than you thought.
Well, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Yeah, and I think that you're being given a direct message, I think, here. And it's pretty clear to me that this is really heading in the direction that you really want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This work. Now, I'm not saying you're going to work with your own animals forever.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, yes, maybe it should be work with animals. You understand? So, are you listening?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what's indicated here. I mean, I wouldn't say this if I didn't mean it. I'm not always giving everybody good news or anything. Okay, but this is a blessed year. And you were supposed to start something new this year before your birthday.
Yes. okay.
You were supposed to. It's in the cards.
Okay.
Well, I get the feeling like you're right on the money with this. You know, you're actually very psychic. I don't know if you realize that or not. You're actually very. Yeah, well, you'll see yourself, but, you know, a lot of us are conditioned not to see ourselves that way, so you resist it. But you are, and I think you're being told this is what you should do, and my suggestion is just to go for it.
Okay, that's good. And as far as a change in location, do you see anything like that?
A change of work, anything?
A change in location.
Oh, in moving.
Yeah.
Well, there is certainly an indication here before your birthday that you will be moving.
Really? Oh, okay.
Now, it would be like, you know, July or August that it would happen. But the first most important thing is, what are you doing? Because that determines often where we live.
Right.
So well, you get that part straightened out, and then the rest of it will just fall into place. You'll know exactly where you're supposed to be, and you'll feel good about it. You see, you already know you're moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
I'm just catching up here. I can feel it now. You know you're actually moving.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know where yet.
Exactly.
So you'll know soon. If not before then, after July, for sure, you'll see the picture.
After July what?
15th.
Okay, that's good.
And all the people listening tonight who study the card are looking at your cards. Actually, no, they're not, because I didn't say your birthday. You're September 5th, 1962, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now they're looking at your cards, and they're all going to know exactly why you're moving and why I said what I said when they look at the cards. And sometimes they get mad at me when I don't say people's birthdays.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on too, Robert. So, okay, I'm glad I asked you. So it's all good news. It's always a little scary to make a change like this.
Yeah. Actually, it's just a lot of anticipation for me. I'm not scared. I'm ready.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. That is wonderful. Well, I don't have anything bad to tell you.
Good. Well, thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
Okay. Have a nice night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Without further ado, we have on line two, from Pennsylvania, we have Sherry. Are you there, Sherry?
Hi, Robert. This is Sherry from that long email I sent you over the weekend.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah, the long email that I didn't answer.
No.
Okay, so let's have your question as clear as you can say it, okay?
Okay. When you just start a new 52 days, and the one, I'm in Uranus right now. I just started that. And the bottom card is a Nine of Hearts. Okay, and that's in the birth card.
Well, let's just stop for a second. I want to give everybody your birthday, okay?
Okay.
So they can all be looking and sharing this experience with you. And
yeah.
So your birthday is October 1st, 1955.
October 1st, 55, I'm 52.
Okay, good. Go ahead, then.
The big year.
Yeah, 52 is a big year for sure.
Yeah. Okay. When the birth card, I'm not crazy about that one, but the planetary cards look good. And then how do you decide, okay, this Nine of Hearts that's there, it's a vertical card.
Yeah.
How can you decide if maybe it's a person instead of a heartbreaking event?
Well, you know, my book tends to interpret things a little bit too negatively sometimes, or either that or people interpret it negatively, what I've written about these different cards. But Uranus period does not tend to bring out the bad side of cards.
Well, I just think, you know, since it was in a housing thing...
Do you know any good interpretations for a Nine of Hearts in Uranus?
Yeah.
Tell me one.
Well,
what's a possible good thing that could happen with a Nine of Hearts in Uranus?
I don't have the stuff in front of me right now.
Oh, okay. So you need to look at the good side of every card right now. You know why? Because you're in a blessed year. Not the most blessed year, but certainly a blessed year. You're in a blessed year. Age 52 is a blessed year. So why are you looking at anything negative right now?
Well, because I got a sheriff's sale notice for July 11th, and that's
okay.
The bottom line.
Well, what's wrong with that? What's the problem?
No money.
Well, so what's that problem? I mean, what does that mean? No money. what does that mean? What's going to happen?
Well, I don't want to move.
You don't want to move.
That would be, that would be the Nine of Hearts. But see, I keep seeing the Ten of Diamonds, but, that's, dealing with or focusing on a large amount of money.
Well, this Nine of Hearts you have is associated with the Four of Hearts, isn't it?
Right, so that to me should override, but...
Yeah.
The Four of Hearts to me should override, but like I said, I don't want to take any chances. I'm not a gambler.
Well, you're not taking any chances. You're not going to be able to do anything about what's going to happen. And so what I'm suggesting to you is that you stop looking at the cards and start appreciating what you have right now. Don't waste any more time worrying about the future. I know it's hard because you're getting threatened to lose your place, right? You're being threatened with a possible loss of where you live, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but it's something that I think you really need to do. I mean, what is it that you really, really want for your life? I would hope it would be freedom from the suffering that you go through with your mind. Does that make sense?
Well, since there is no money and then no family, I mean, we would literally be on the street. So, what do you want to call suffering?
Well, suffering is always, our interpretation of things. It's not really, there's nothing, I wouldn't wish you to be on the street. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I know this is happening to you for a very specific reason. It's for you, and you alone. It's your personal creation. You understand?
Well,
so
the strange
thing. You're not going to be able to find peace of mind by looking at these cards.
Because
you can interpret them any way you want. I see them positive, but that's not going to stop you from worrying.
Okay. No, because I'm hoping that a Nine of Hearts is a person. I mean, we have written some letters for some help. I am praying that the Nine of Hearts, who does show up in my husband's new 52 days, and also my daughter's 52 days. So I'm kind of hoping that that's maybe a person that could help us.
Perhaps.
Because they're not direct cards, they're a vertical cards.
I just know that whatever happens, Sherry, it's going to be good. Even if you're out of your house, it's going to turn out good. I know it is. I don't have any doubt about it. But I can't help you because you're going to worry anyway. You're a Three of Hearts ruler. You worry about everything anyway.
Yeah.
And now you got some reason to worry. You got some facts to help you worry. You got like a situation that looks terrible. Potentially,
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So, I could tell you, things look good. But I could never guarantee you because, see, You have some power. You are a power card, by the way. You know this, right?
You're yeah, that's
you have a lot of power here, and you're acting like you don't have any.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that little key that I just can't seem to find right now.
Well, you're...
And that's what's so frustrating. I know I can pull this off somehow, but I just can't find that little key.
Well, you're not looking in the right place. Where are you looking? Sure. May I suggest you look inside yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine for a moment that you created this whole situation. You, not anybody else, not your husband, not your daughter, you. Just imagine that.
Okay.
Not that it's real, necessarily, but just look at it from that perspective. What if you were the one that made this whole thing happen just like it's happening? If that were true,
yeah.
Why would you have done it? And what would you want to learn from this? See?
Yes, an overwhelming challenge, I tell ya.
Well, it is, but you asked for overwhelming.
Well, if I can pull this one off, what's the next big feat?
Well, you know, I don't know, but this is your critical year. This is your year to make it all happen. This is your year to have an extraordinary life and to decide why you're here and if you want to live or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is a
critical
year.
Yeah, that's crossed my mind, too.
So, you know, it's about what you come up with. So it's all perfect for you.
Okay. One more thing, Ben. When you're looking at the planetaries, I mean, I've got the older book and, you know, with the newsletters, how things get rewritten. And how much emphasis do you still hold on the planetary long-range Pluto result environment?
Well, it depends on how much the person is living in that card. If you're living in if you're living in the Three of Hearts a lot, I would look at that as being stronger for that period.
Okay.
These are two parts of your personality.
Okay.
You see?
No, I just, you know, sometimes the
planetary
just comes
through. No, that's exactly the
answer.
I just gave you the exact answer on that.
Okay.
It depends on how much the person is living through that card. Usually it's pretty equal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
All right, Sherry. So I'm sure everybody listening tonight wishes you well.
Thank you all.
I wish you well. We all know we can't stop you from worrying because you're a Three of Hearts ruling card. Okay, that's going to happen anyway. That would happen even if nothing was happening. So we're not hoping for that. We're just hoping you find peace inside yourself. And the power that you were born with. You're one of the most powerful cards in the whole deck.
Yeah. Why did I bring this on myself? I don't know. But I needed to prove to myself.
Keep asking that question and you'll get the answer. See, the Eight of Diamonds has a hard time going inside because they're so externally pushing, see? You Eight of Diamonds always push externally, but it's your karma to look inside. The Queen of Spades is your first karma card. Read up about that. That's what you need to practice.
Okay.
All right. Great talking to you.
I certainly appreciate your help.
Oh, you're welcome, Sherry. Thanks for for calling tonight and being my guest.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, without further ado, we have Mary Lee from Chicago, my friend Mary Lee, who we're going to see very soon. Are you there, Mary Lee?
I am, Robert.
I heard you talking to Don earlier.
He's quite a character.
Yeah, he likes to talk. He's a talker.
Yes, he does.
That's kind of rare,
Robert,
you know.
What we wanted to know.
Guys usually don't talk that much, you know. Guys aren't usually into talking as much as Don is. He really likes to talk.
Well, that's good. He's got a good job for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are y'all up to over there?
Well, we wanted to know, is your book available, or do we have to wait till you come to Chicago to get it?
Well, Well, I don't know the exact date that the new book is going to be released. We don't have any yet here. Are you there?
I am.
Oh, okay. I heard a click. Sorry. Thought something happened. I'm hoping that the book is available before then.
I hope so too.
I'm pretty strongly committed that it's going to be there at the event, you know. I have a pretty strong commitment that that's going to be true. But even then, I can't say for sure, but that's my... It was supposed to be done the end of this month. I'll find out more information and let you know.
Okay, that'll be great.
I think we're going to have a really large turnout.
You come?
I think we're going to have a great
okay.
turnout, with especially because
oh,
of
I think
you.
So, too.
Especially because of you and your efforts.
Well, I don't know.
No,
the word
I really
is
do.
Out that you're coming. Everybody's happy.
We're going to have so much fun. And, you know, we're going to try to go out together afterwards, some of us. So
oh,
if you're available to go out somewhere just afterwards, we'd love to have
That'll
you.
That would be wonderful.
We'll
yeah, be we'll
let everybody
to.
Know that night. We're going to pick a restaurant close by and get together.
Okay.
All right?
Wonderful. Well, I All can right. hardly wait to meet you.
Well, us too. We're looking forward to it, Mary Lee. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see you.
I will keep in contact with you to see if we can get the book ahead of time, though.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I can think to call would be Sourcebooks. They're in Naperville, so call them up.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, give them a call and say,
hey, what is the title of the new book, Robert?
Your Birthday, Your Card.
What is the title of the new book, though?
I just told you.
Oh, we're having some kind of a communication problem on this phone because I can't hear you too well.
The book is called Your Birthday, Your Card.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fine. How apropos.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay, well, we shall anxiously await your arrival.
Thank you, Mary Lee. I look forward to meeting you, both of us. We're going to have fun.
Thank you very much.
All right, good night.
Have a great evening now.
Thanks
Keep up
very
the great
much.
Work.
You're very
right,
well.
Bye-bye.
I will. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We do have Lily waiting on from L.A., but we're going to wait until after the short break. We have at least two lines open right now. And on this break, we're going to play the song Rama Rama. When we come back, we'll talk to Lily and whoever else is called in. So we'll be right back after this song.
Rama, 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 Rama.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Rama from my CD called Bhakti Rock. And we have two lines open still, and we have Lily from Los Angeles on line four. Are you there, Lily?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi,
I
how are you?
You're very low.
Oh. How about now?
I guess it's okay.
Seth, can you turn me up and turn her up, too? I think he's listening, so he might be able to help us.
Because I'm talking, like, right into the phone.
Okay.
Okay, it seems like I'm having a problem with my son. We've been estranged. Actually, I've been estranged from both of my kids for almost 4 or 5 years now. He's in Ada Club, April 26, 1967, and he did something really, really bad to myself and my friend. And I threw out the olive leaf. I held it out, and I said, all right, come back. He's in New York, and I just wanted him to be sorry for what he did. And he just emailed me this rotten email that I'm just a stupid old lady and I should just, you know, let things go. And that just, you know, I just want to go there and strangle him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
I mean, it's just something, I don't know if this will ever be resolved.
Yeah, what's amazing about this, Lily, and I want to tell my listening audience first that your birthday is September 18th, 1946. Is that right?
Yeah, yes.
What's amazing is that you have such a strong love connection with your son, actually, in the cards.
We were, like, inseparable. You know what I mean? I actually had to push him away and tell him to go to New York because we were too close. I didn't think it was cool. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
At a certain, like, you know, when I was like, you know, I didn't want him to be a little sissy boy. So I said, you know, just go out on your own. Because we were like, oh, he was just like, you know, he was born during flower power, and you know, he was like this little priestly little thing, you know what I mean? And now, I mean, to me, he's like a sociopath. I mean, just own up to the crap that you pulled, you know, and...
Well, let me tell you a little secret, Lily, and you may not want to hear this. Okay.
Okay. No, I'll hear it. I'm okay. I'm open.
Your birthday is one that's very vengeful.
Mine is what?
Vengeful.
Oh, vengeful.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a tendency, all sixes are like this, and you're a double six, you know?
Yeah.
You're a double six. You're not just a single six, you're a double six. You have a double dose of this.
Yeah.
Sixes see other people doing bad things to them even when it's not happening. They read into the situation.
Well,
now you may think, let me just stop you, okay? You may think that there's no way that's true in this situation. He's definitely wrong. But I'm telling you that I can say from my own personal experience of being around sixes and six of clubs. You know, did you know the six of clubs is a card that's very hard upon themselves?
Yes.
They are. They're very, very hard with, upon themselves. And so if anybody does something to them or even around them that just looks like it criticizes them or makes them bad in any way, they take terrible offense.
Well, you know, Robert, what he did is my best friend had a rent-controlled apartment in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
She's been there since 1952.
Yeah.
And he let her stay there. She let him stay there for $300 rent
mm-hmm.
in Midtown Manhattan. And he double-crossed her and tried to get it for himself.
Uh-huh.
And she lost everything, all her belongings, all her mother's belongings, and everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, to me, that's a pretty big, scummy thing to do.
So, why can't you forgive him?
I don't know. Because I just want him to be sorry.
Well, I know, but you don't have a right to ask anybody to be sorry about anything.
I don't?
Absolutely not. That's not your job.
You're not the conscience police, are you?
No. No, but I mean, he just made a very awkward situation between my best friend and me, who was also a six.
Okay.
So I guess
now we're
both of us are like.
So now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
She's January 8th, and we just sit here and harp, and it's like.
Well, you guys have got a little pity party going, but it's not
helping.
It's not helping you get close to your son.
No, but I mean, I don't like his arrogant attitude. I just feel like I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you may be completely right about what you're saying, but being right in the situation is not going to have you get your son back. And you might have to choose between being right and having your son. And you might have to decide which of those is more important to you, being right or having your son in your life.
Yeah, but... No, I just told you he's supposed to come here in next month. And
uh-huh.
I was like, cool, you know what I mean? Come, you know,
yeah.
Let's just let the past be in the past, but... You know, don't you feel just a little bit of guilt about that? And then
well, see, here's the thing. You're still holding on to that.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's very hard for me to brush it off and just say, all right, well, you know.
Well, I mean, have you ever asked him his side of it or anything? Have you ever made an attempt to understand why he did it?
He just wants to be stingy, and he's...
Well, see, you... Okay, why would anybody want to be with you if that's what you think about them?
Why would anybody want to be... Well, it's...
Why would anyone be with... Why would I want to be with you if you think I'm stingy and all sort of stuff? Why would I even want to come see you? I would have no desire to come see you.
Well, I don't think he's stingy. He is stingy. I mean, he's making six figures, and, I don't know.
I'm just saying, Lily, that, you know, if you don't shift in this around this somehow, you can just write him off for a while. He's not going to come back because he doesn't want to. I mean, and I can understand why. I'm not saying that you're right. You're wrong or right about this.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just telling you, if you want your son back, you're going to have to come from a different place with him. The place you're coming from is not going to have him come back in your life. No way. Why would he? It's common sense, really. You know, it's not something philosophical. It's just the way people are.
So you think I'm the one that...
You're the one that can... What I think is that you're the one that can do something about it. That's all. I think you're the one that can shift here and have it be different between you and your son. But you won't be able to if you continue to carry these judgments of him and your assessments of him and your rightness, being right about him.
No, you know, I really don't want to be right. I just would like to see a little bit of the old John. You know what I mean? What he used to be. He used to be, I don't know. Got tied up with this gal and it totally changed when he was with her.
Well, but you have to learn to honor his choices, see? He's not a baby anymore. He's your son, but he's a grown man.
Yeah, he's in his 40s. You know?
And these are his choices that he's making, and you either can honor him or just let him go completely, because he's obviously going to do what he's going to do. And he's in 8 of clubs, by the way, and he's not going to change.
No, he's not. He's getting very...
He's more stubborn than you are, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's an understatement. Yes.
Yeah, well, I know that just from his birthday.
Yes.
And he's extremely security-driven also.
Yes.
You should know this.
Oh, yes.
He's extremely driven by security needs.
Yes.
So is it anybody who's extremely driven by security needs is likely to do something that would hurt others to just make sure that they're safe,
uh-huh.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody would do that who is extremely security driven.
Oh, but I wouldn't do that.
Maybe not.
I wouldn't do that.
You're not extremely security driven like he is.
Uh-huh.
Do you understand? So it's up to you to find it in yourself to understand your son, or don't expect him to come around. It's very simple.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been the last 4 years. This is so much. I guess.
Yeah,
I wasn't ready for him either, because
yeah.
I was just too.
Too angry.
I mean, I would be start blinking. That's how angry I am, you know.
Yeah, well, you would be. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if there's a mend between you two on the horizon.
Okay.
It's certainly not showing up in the cards anytime soon.
No, okay.
Because, you know, you're probably not going to shift about how you see him. And I know he's not going to change. So if you're not going to change and he's not going to change, the situation is not going to change.
So it looks dismal.
Well, it's not. No, actually, I'm really optimistic. This could shift right now, but it's all up to you to have that happen. It can happen any time. But it's not going to happen by you waiting for him to do it.
And
if you're going to have to be your friend's friend and be on her side about it and, you know, be angry at him so that she feels okay about you, then you're not going to have your son around for a while.
Well, we've been friends since we're like 4 years old, 5 years old.
Well,
my friend, you know,
that's your choice. That is completely your choice, Lily.
All right.
Well, we honor your choices, but just know that you're choosing this. This is your choice. And it has a consequence, and the consequence is that your son doesn't want to see you because he doesn't want to be judged or blamed by you anymore. And you know, there may be another way of looking at you that you've never seen. There may be something that you would know about him that you really don't know yet, even though you're his mother. There could be something that you don't know about him or the situation, but you've never bothered to look because you've been so right. You know that being right is the number one affliction in this country. People kill each other over being right.
You're right.
They would rather kill somebody and go to jail than not be right. And our society and our culture does the most terrible things to people in the name of being right. It's hard not to do that. It's extremely difficult not to.
No, I know.
To be so caught up in being right. But, you know, that's another story. I wish you well, and thanks for sharing this and being open and talking on the show. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Good night, Lily. Okay, we have two lines open, and we have Tim from Dallas, Texas on the line. Are you there, Tim?
Yeah.
Hey. How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm going through like a big life change right now.
A big life change. Now, let me just tell everybody that your birthday, as I understand it, is December the 3rd, 1981. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about this change you're going through.
Well, you know, I had a baby about 2 years ago, and I moved to Dallas, Texas. Kind of hate it. But stuck in a job where you know, that I don't like, you know, to, you know, provide for the family and stuff. But a couple months ago, I quit that job, got tired of it, and now I'm moving to the Bay Area. Sending my wife and child to Japan for a couple months, so that I can start anew. And my sister lives in the Bay Area, like Walnut Creek. Yeah.
Yeah, that's close to where I live.
Oh, cool.
That's the town right next to the town I live in.
Okay, what's that?
Concord.
Concord.
Check out the map. It's the next town over.
Yeah, I'm kind of exploring it. I spent a lot of time in Portland. I love the West Coast, so I'll be happy to go back. But.
So let me get this straight. You're not married. Are you married?
I am married.
You are married, and you and your wife
she had a baby 2 years ago,
yes.
Was it? 2 years?
He's like almost 2. He's a... The funniest story is, you know how everyone, you know, the power of the number 8, you know? Write the number down, stick it in your wallet.
Yeah.
Well, I was like so into the cards and stuff, I put the 8 of diamonds in my wallet. And
uh-huh.
It turns out my son is an 8 of diamonds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I found that really bizarre and interesting because I put it in there like maybe a year before he was born or maybe longer than that. Probably like 2 years.
Yeah, that kind of stuff can happen, I'm telling you. I've had some similar experiences like that I can't tell you right now, but I know what you're talking about. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I don't want
to
experiment with it.
So you have an 8 of diamonds son, and what's your wife's birthday? What's her card?
She's 6 days younger than I, so she's 9 of clubs.
Okay, and what? So she's a, is she Sagittarius also? No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So your wife's a very strong woman. She's a King of Diamonds ruling card.
Yeah, she's... I'd like her to portray that more, I guess, but, you know, because she's Japanese, so...
Oh, okay. Oh, I was going to ask why you're sending him to Japan, because that seems like a really great... Like, that doesn't seem like an easy choice, but that's where her family is, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like halfway out of compassion, you know, because she'd love to go back and, you know, her parents would love to spend more time with my son. And,
uh-huh.
You know, I'd love to go with them, but it's also kind of an opportunity to kind of, like, regain some, like, vitalism and, you know, find a new pursuit, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to move to Walnut Creek, and you're going to get, you have another job you're going to do there?
I've been doing, like, lately, I've had a career change, and I've been doing flash development design, like web
yeah.
design
mm-hmm.
development. So,
yeah.
You know, that's my main focus, I suppose. Although
okay.
I have many focuses. You know, I'm... artist, art graduate, all that
yeah.
stuff.
Okay, so I get all that. So what's your question?
I'm kind of interested in the, you know, I am kind of like moving in the Saturn period, and obviously it's going to be difficult because I'm away from my family. But there's 6 of clubs, which is like one of my karma cards, eh? And just...
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could shed some light on that.
Well, you have a couple sixes in Saturn.
Yeah, my son, yeah.
The 6 of clubs, you know, if now this is a big if you might have been dishonest with anybody in the recent past, it might come out. You might be held accountable for that.
Sure.
I don't know if you have. Or if you can think of anything, but, you know, certainly if you have, it's probably going to come out and you're going to be found out. Okay? Or if you verbally had gotten into a dispute with somebody in the recent past, this past year or whatever, and it's still hanging out there, like not taken care of, they might show back up in your life and there may be sort of a payback on that level. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Now, these are all the negative interpretations, okay?
Right. I'm not, like, really worried about anything I've recently done. It's just more, like, because it's my karma card, it just piques my interest, you know? Like.
Yeah, well, this is the part I was getting to, is that on the positive side, this could be when you really find your career, your mission.
All right.
Okay? And it's
mm-hmm.
in Saturn... So it's going to be harder, but it's certainly not being denied you, okay?
Sure.
And you have a 6 of hearts environment this year, you know, and the year I had a 6 of hearts environment, I had that about maybe 12 years back, maybe a little longer. That was the year that I found my publisher. So
really?
It's like a 6 of hearts environment will have people show up in your life who want to help you out. Somebody you have really good karma with from a past life. So I'd be very open right now and in your Saturn period for something good to show up.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anything else I can ask before? I mean, you could tell me before I ask some questions about the card system.
Well, there's an Ace of Hearts long range. You know, that usually means, what do I really love? It's a question, you know. What do I really love? What really would, you know, make me happy?
I see. I can.
Feeling that's what you're going through this year, you know.
Right on.
So, okay. there's a chance if you're not. Is there a chance your wife might get pregnant again before your birthday?
I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, I guess there's always a chance, but not really.
Well, there's a lot of heart cards after your Saturn period, okay?
Right.
And if you're not happy in your marriage, you might meet somebody else.
Aye.
You understand?
Yeah, I kind of see those cards, but...
Yeah, well, see, those cards will only show up that way if you're open to that because you're unhappy with what you have. If you're happy with how your relationship is, that won't happen because it just won't show up for you. Okay?
Okay.
So it's up to you how that shows up. It basically depends on you.
Do you have any advice, like being like a parent of an Eight of Diamonds? You know, it's like, seems like such a powerful card. Like,
what birthday is he?
August 5th, so I guess he would be
eight. He's a Leo.
Yeah, he's a Leo.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, I want to say that you're fortunate to have an Eight of Diamonds son because, you know, that's somebody who can actually, you know, who has a great potential in his life. Okay?
Right.
He has a very high potential that he could achieve something really magnificent in his life. You do have, let's see, you have a Mars connection with him. Oh, wait a minute, let me see. Make sure I got this right. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. I take that back. It's not a Mars.
Uranus, isn't it?
Well, let me just look for a moment here. Well, your moon, no, wait a minute, that's not true either. Hold on. Yeah, actually, your Queen of Spades. I just want to be clear about this. Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a problem, actually. Are you having a problem with him right now?
Oh, no, you know, it's just, I'm ambitious for him, and,
You're ambitious for him, did you say?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, he's going to make you proud. I don't have any doubt about that. But, you know, I don't think you have anything to worry about with him. He's going to be... I would encourage him to, you know, follow his dreams, and, like, he may want to be some kind of performer or something, and let him follow his own path. You know, that would be my suggestion.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a really incredible kid and an incredible adult when he grows up. My teacher who taught me the cards used to say that's the most powerful birthday of the whole year. That was his opinion about it.
Oh, August 5th?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because it's a sun card, and it's also the Leo version of the sun card. You know, it's not just... You know, because the sun card implies being like a Leo already. So here you are, the sun card, but you're also a Leo of that. That's like a double, triple.
Double, triple.
You know, so your son's going to be pretty, he's going to be quite the character. I would, you know, if it was me, I would encourage him to be everything he can be, and you'll just love him. I think you'll just love him. He's your friend. You have a friendship connection with him. So it'll be easy for you to let him be who he is. I predict this. It'll be easy for you to allow him to be who he is. I don't think it's going to be a problem.
So a couple of weeks ago, I got a new computer, like a MacBook, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've had your software, your Cards of Destiny software.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're very accurate, and, you know, I'm kind of into them off and on, but lately I've been so much more. And, you know, I kind of had a dilemma because I wanted to put the software on my computer. But so
yeah.
But being, like, into Flash development and such,
yeah.
I believe I've figured out all the math and numbers behind the system, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, but then I come to a few questions and about how the birthdays are derived. Would you say that the actual... the cards for the birthday is more like numerology based, and then they're like interpreted with astrology, or is there, you know, because I was researching ancient calendars of the past, and you know, it dawned on me, like, you know, from all the different changes that how could like the exact day stay the same birth date? Are you following?
Yeah, me? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, Tim, like, the bottom line is that, and this is, I'm speaking as a Queen of Diamonds, you know, is that the birthdays we have and the cards that go with them, they fit. They work. They're very accurate. There's no discrepancy. So if you want to work at it from that angle. They fit. Why do they fit is the question you should be asking. Do you understand?
Right. I was just under like the hypothetical thought, like say if we as like humanity moved into like a 13 natural cycle calendar, like how you might see that would change, like the cards would change at all, or you know?
Well, you know, you can get into those kind of obscure sort of you know, questions about the system. But it's not going to help you use it better or know it. I mean, what do you want to do? Find something new that nobody else discovered? Or, like, what's your purpose?
I don't know. I guess I'm trying to find that out.
Well, you know, just you know, enjoy the system and use it. That's what I suggest. But you can do whatever you want, you know. You can do whatever you want, of course. But do you have any other questions for me?
I was wondering if you could give me a little hint at all about the X card. Or
well,
the 13th card.
I don't know. I know it's significant. I've married two people that are my X card. The X card, by the way, for those who are listening, is called the Transformed Self card. And I talk about it in my book, Exploring the Little Book of the Seven Thunders. You have that book, Tim, already?
No. No.
Well, that's what you got to do. Go read that book.
Yeah.
That's where your answer lies, okay? You know, basically, it represents, like, us in a highly evolved state, okay, from where we are now, from where we were born. But if you want to know more about it,
kind of like the next octave or something.
Yeah, but kind of like it's almost like a guidepost of something that we should aim ourselves towards. And you'll find that it's significant. You'll find you'll run into people of that card. You'll have significant relationships with them and so forth. You know, there'll be some connection there. I don't really claim to completely understand it. Okay? So...
okay.
Anything else, Tim?
Well, just one other thing is I ran into, someone else who does the cars, but a slightly different system than yours.
Yeah.
And for the like weekly spread.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can kind of like see it both ways where, like yours doesn't skip a beat. It has every day or something, but I mean, I guess I'm not too sure about what the other system.
You're talking about the calculated weekly spreads and cards?
Yeah, like how accurate do you think that is compared to your divination way?
Well, here's the thing, Tim. You have to decide how accurate things are for yourself. If you're just going at this from a theoretical point of view, you're going to miss it. You have to find out from your own experience what really works by your own direct experience. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You have to be willing to test these things for yourself. There's a lot of people that I've taught who've gone off on different directions with the cards, and they've had all kinds of theories and different ways to do it. And, you know, some of them I respect, some of them I think are completely way off, because I tested them for myself, and they didn't work. And the other thing is that sometimes when people, because I wrote the first books and things, people wanted to do something different so they could distinguish themselves from me. You know, do you understand that principle?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't just do what Robert's doing. I got to do something different so I can be better or as good as, see?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that I briefly read about that, I kind of didn't chime with, but...
There's a lot of theories, and I appreciate you not mentioning names, all right? And even you, if you get really into the cards, you might actually do the same thing. You might say, well, I found something that Robert didn't find, and it's better, and whatever. You know what I mean? If you do, write a book, and if it's accurate, people will read it and they'll get benefit from it. It's all about helping people. That's the part that some people don't get. You know? It's all about how well can you help others with this, with whatever you have in life. That's my approach.
Right.
And, you know, things I've come up with have been very accurate. So I feel pretty good about the daily cards. I feel really good about those. I've seen those things amazingly hit things. And there may be other ways of calculating daily cards. I'm not saying this is the only way. I know mine works. The one that came to me worked, and it's based on the same principle as the yearly spreads.
Right.
Same principle. So
Do you have like an opinion about like the Mayan system, or I guess it's, you know, with the
well, there's some correlation there. There's 52 day periods in that system, just like in this system. But
right.
I know a guy who's in Sedona who's a big Mayan calendar guy, and he's a big card guy, and he sees all the connections and he knows all about them. His name is Richard Eagle. You might be able to Google him and look him up. He's written some books.
Richard Eagle.
And Richard Eagle is his name, and he's written lots of books. I mean, I think he's written actually maybe one or two books, but he's really into the cards, and he's really into the Mayan calendar, and he's got some great theories, and you might really get what you're looking for from him. I'm not a Mayan calendar expert, so I can't even comment about the Mayan calendar. I just know that it has 52-day cycles, and I bet there's a correlation. I just think there is, but I don't. I remember once I found out that I'm a blue electric monkey or something in the Mayan system, but I have no idea what that means.
Sure, everything sure like has funky names. That's all I know.
Yeah, they came up with some really funky names, you know. And I know Jose Arguelles, who wrote one of the first books, and I happen to know that he smokes a lot of pot. And so, you know, I don't really take his work all that seriously.
Yeah, I think a lot of that movement is kind of that kind of culture.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there in the New Age world, and you don't really know if these people are taking a lot of drugs to get their stuff or what they're doing. I mean, you just get a book and you think because it's a book, it must be right. That's why I recommend people test everything. Like, test my book. If it doesn't work, don't do it, you know. Test it for yourself. Have your own experience of it and go by that, not by what anybody says. That's my suggestion.
I'd just like to thank you for your books. You know, they shared a lot of insight throughout the years.
Well, I'm glad that you're benefiting from them, Tim. It's great to have you on the show. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck with your upcoming career. Hey, if you're in Walnut Creek, give me a call and come by sometime. Love to meet you.
All right. I'd like
I'm
to-
literally 2 miles from Walnut Creek.
Whoa. Okay.
So, you know, once you get here and get settled in, if you have some time, want to come by and visit someday, give us a call, okay? Love to connect with you.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that was a very interesting conversation. We have Joey from Long Beach, and I think I know Joey. Are you there, Joey?
I'm here, Robert. How are you?
I'm well. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good today. I had a quick question for you regarding the Love Cards book.
Sure.
And I wanted to know, yesterday I had an Ace of Spades Venus day, and I'm in my Venus period, which happens to be an Ace of Spades as well.
Yeah,
so,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so I was magically led back to your book. And I had a thought about reading my card and my mother's card to see what type of relationship that is. And I didn't
uh-huh.
know if that was something that, you know, was appropriate. I didn't know if it was just for marriages. But I read the Four Heart, Eight of Diamonds connection.
Uh-huh.
And it was spot on.
Oh, you mean using the same connections that you find in love cards for other kinds of relationships, you mean? Like
yes.
with your mom? Yeah, the connections are the same, and you just have to interpret them differently based on the kind of relationship it is. Absolutely.
But, you know, it was amazing how accurate it was. It explained a lot of the anxiety that I've had all these years. It put everything in perspective now that I know the different connections, the Pluto, the Saturn, the Neptune.
Is your mother a Scorpio?
I'm sorry?
Is your mother a Scorpio?
Yes.
So your mother's a Scorpio Four of Hearts, right?
Yes.
And she's an Eight of Diamonds ruling card.
Exactly.
And you're just like her.
Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah, I understand.
And
I'm
an Eight of Diamonds, Ace of Clubs, planetary ruling. My dad is an Ace of Clubs birth card.
Oh my goodness, you got both your mom and your dad so clearly inside of you. That's amazing.
Exactly. It shows why, you know, I'm so close to them and I think about them all the time and I love them and all that. But, you know, it was difficult growing up with my mom because she was so critical. But now I see, you know, that we're together, you know, so she can teach me. But I didn't perceive all that criticism as, like, positive. I just thought I thought I couldn't do anything right. And I know about 3 months ago you asked me, why do I keep attracting people who live in other states and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that was one of the core reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never thought I was good enough.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, like, yesterday, all of these epiphanies started, you know, unraveling, and I feel a lot better now
wow,
that I know
awesome.
That, you know, it's all about love at the end of the day.
That is amazing, Joey. I'm so happy you called and shared that. That is really cool.
Yeah, it was. Because after all of the negative connections, the final was, you know, double Venus, you know, on the spiritual level, so...
I want to tell my listening audience that your birthday is April the 13th, 1968, just so they know, because they're listening and they're wanting to know your card, you know.
Oh, my mom's Halloween baby.
Yeah, your mother's
Halloween
October
Scorpio.
31st. Yeah, I've known lots of people that birthday. Very powerful people, very controlling.
I acquired asthma in the fourth grade, and usually people are born with it. I acquired it. Because I was just so nervous.
Around your mom.
Yep.
Yeah, because I bet she had you kind of scared, you know, like on pins and needles a lot, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't understand because all my friends, parents, and teachers, they loved me, always sang my praises, and my mom was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I couldn't get it right with this woman. I got it right with everybody else except for her. But at the end of the day, people always want to be... you know, validated by their parents, not necessarily other people. So that, like, threw me for most of my adult life. I'm like, I get it now.
That is awesome. That's an amazing story.
I finally get it.
Thanks for sharing.
So I just want to share that with you and your callers.
Yeah, thank you. That was really wonderful. And this you just had this realization just recently?
Yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, I'm in a Ace of Spades Venus period, and yesterday I also had an Ace of Spades Venus day. My day card was Ace of Spades.
So it looks like this Ace of Spades showed up like a transformation in the way that you regard your family and stuff.
Yep. And according to the connection, my mother is my cosmic results card once I do my transformation.
Yeah.
So once I take care of my Pluto card, which I know is my weight. It's a weight issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, Scorpios, they like pretty things. They like everything to be together. I mean, that's definitely my mother. She's very pretty and, you know,
but you know,
has Scorpios, it all together.
Scorpios are hard on themselves, you know. This is something that most people don't know, but they're pretty hard on themselves, which is why they're often hard on other people.
Well, my mom is the type, she eats like approximately a half a cup of ice cream. And I'm the type, I'll eat a bowl.
Yeah,
so she may be hard on herself, but she's also disciplined. I'm hard on myself, and I'm not disciplined. She's
the kind of hard that would be very disciplined, and she would want you to be the same. Because her discipline and her self-denial is what keeps her from losing control.
Exactly.
And when you didn't practice the same thing, she got scared. And when Scorpios get scared, they get very controlling. They become very controlling.
But she was right.
When they're afraid.
She was right, because if I would have denied myself the whole bowl of ice cream and just had the half a cup like I saw her do my whole life, but that's what I'm saying. I realized after reading the book yesterday, she modeled perfect behavior. She's very practical. She lives within her budget. She has straight-A credit. She modeled the perfect behavior, and I went like the exact opposite, as if like, oh, well, you know. But now I see like that's what I should have been doing.
Joey, we should talk sometime about you coming up here and doing this training that I did. Or doing it in L.A.
Sure.
We should talk sometime. Why don't you email me and we'll set up a time and chat, because this is exactly what this training is so incredible with, is like clearing out all this baggage with our parents.
And I need it. I want to be in a real relationship with a man here in California, not 15,000 miles away.
Yeah, exactly. This would be perfect. I'd love to tell you about it. So just send me an email, set up a time to chat sometime this week.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
Okay, great. That'd be excellent.
Thanks so much for calling and sharing
your story. This is a wonderful story. Thanks for
sharing. Hey, and 2 weeks ago when your guy called about the Seven of Diamonds for this year, you know, I'm also a Seven of Diamonds card.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing my gratitude journal ever since I read that in your book to do, and amazing things have been happening. I've been getting free stuff from people. Yesterday I was short at the store. I was like a dollar short. And the girl's like, don't worry about it. I thought she was going to say, well, put it back, but she didn't.
We were just talking about, I was just talking about that at the beginning of the show about gratitude. So that's great that you shared that. That's exactly
whenever you write down something good that happens, it's like the universe goes, oh, she likes that, so let me do it again. so you start to see a repetitive. Like today, I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I never go, but I thought about you.
Uh-huh.
And once again, I was 70 cents short, and I wasn't going to break another 20, so I said, well, take something off my order. He's like, don't worry about it. So next thing you know, I end up with more chicken and, you know, and didn't even have all the money. And that happened yesterday as well.
That is so cool. I love that stuff. Little miracles.
Yeah, it's funny when you recognize the little things. It's like the universe keeps giving you more little things than, you know,
and those little
things
mean the most. Those little things mean the most.
Definitely.
We think it's the big things. We got it all mixed up, you know. Those little things.
Well, you can't live on the big things, because the big things, they only happen, you know, a couple times a year, or a couple times, you know, in your life. The little things are what you survive on.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
The little things are the meat. The big things are the desserts that just come around, you know.
Yeah.
Once in a while, like wedding cake. You know, you only get that once or twice a year.
I get that. Well, thank you again, Joey, for calling tonight.
You're welcome.
Sharing yourself. And we'll talk this week sometime after I get your email. I'll set it up.
Sounds good. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Have a good
all
evening.
Right. You too, dear.
Bye-bye.
Good night. It's very inspirational. I mean, I was just talking about that earlier in the show, about the gratitude. It does cause magical things to happen once we start to really make that part of our practice, you might say, the practice. And she was saying she's doing the journal. She's doing the gratitude journal that I talk about in the Big Money book. And it's a daily practice of taking stock of what we have. That's what it is. And it's some, but you commit to doing it because, and you commit to doing it because you want to have a life of more prosperity, more happiness, more fun, even, you might say. So there's a living example. Thank you, Joey, for calling from down from Long Beach, California. So that concludes our show this evening. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and participating tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. I haven't put up the past shows recently, but I'll go in tomorrow and update that, so all the shows are updated on the web on my website if you want to listen to some of the past shows. We're going to end tonight, as we always do, with the Gayatri Mantra chant from my CD, Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoy it, and I wish all of you a really pleasant rest of your evening. I hope you're doing well. See you next week. Good night.
Om Purva Swaha Tatsavitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya vimahi Deyo-yunna-prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha-tat-savitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya vimahi Deyo yunna prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo yunna prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur
$5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Hi, this is Mark Omay. I'm really happy you're enjoying BBSRadio.com.
Hey, this is Rick Holden, and you'll just be killing me if you don't listen to BBSRadio.com, the number one internet talk radio network on the planet. By the way, you can get my song, Killing Me, on my album, Holding Out, at RickHolden.com. In fact, you can listen to bbsradio.com and click in to rickholden.com at the same time. Isn't life wonderful?
You were listening to The Peaceful Planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet Show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
You deserve to know the bliss found in the divine union of your soul with spirit. You do not have to wait until the afterlife to fully experience oneness with God. Through healing the soul of its forgetfulness of who and what it is, you allow it to fulfill its divine right to know the spirit that you are, so that you can be the knowing spirit and enjoy your existence. Please join me, Reverend Sharice Thorne, for Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. For more information, please visit www.knowingspirit.org. You deserve to know the bliss found in the divine union of your soul with spirit. You do not have to wait until the afterlife to fully experience oneness with God. Through healing the soul of its forgetfulness of who and what it is, you allow it to fulfill its divine right to know the spirit that you are, so that you can be the knowing spirit and enjoy your existence. Please join me, Reverend Sharice Thorne, for Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. For more information, please visit www.knowingspirit.org.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbs.com.
Greatest mystic of our time, invites you to join her as she shares powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Her books and audio library have become roadmaps for those seeking truth in an age of deception. Her live events are unparalleled in the transfiguration of participants to immortal mastery and beyond. Now you can experience the profound wisdom and incredible message of hope she has for mankind right here on BBS Radio. Friday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, tune in to the mystical world we live in on Station 1 to receive the most cutting-edge information on the current ascension of all creation.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Jeff from Electron Love Theory, and you're listening to BBS Radio. You can hear Electron Love Theory's new album, Colors of the Galaxy, right here. Check it out further on our website, which is lovetheory.com, or on iTunes or CD Baby. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet, in the galaxy, and in the universe.
Hey everybody, this is your new friend, Julio, and I'm talking to you because I like to listen to bbsradio.com. I sneak over the border every day, and I go see my girlfriend. She got a computer. Come on now, sing it, girls.
BBS Radio, Radio, Radio.
tomorrow, man, because the border guards are coming. So I'll catch you later, unless you catch me later. Bye-bye now. Don't forget to listen to BBSRadio.com.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Thanks for listening to Songs from My Stories Untold album. Copies of the album are available from cdbaby.com/CD/Peggy Lee with an A. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.